Blog Talk Radio.
Hey. 1, 2, 1, 2.
You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Kim, providing you with that gleam of hope. Like saying this morning, y'all. Yes, morning. Welcome to another gleam of hope. This is a Saturday, and I'm so excited to be with you. This is Minister Kim with my friends and family today. Happy Memorial Day weekend. This is the start of our summer. It is also a time that we honor all of our veterans. And today, I just want to take a few moments to just honor them. Can we pay tribute to all of the men and women who died actively while they were protecting us? So if we could just take a moment of a silent prayer. We thank you, Father. We thank you for each and every one of our servants who serve you, Father, and your people. Father, we pray for their families over this weekend, whether they go to a burial site, whether they light candles, or whether they just be silent for a moment. Father, we pray for their hearts today. We pray, Father, that they understand that they love one to the service, and today we have freedom, and Father, we are safe in your arms. We pray even for those who are now who recently signed up to join the military forces. We pray for them this day that you will grant your angels to protect them from seen and unseen dangers. In Jesus' name, amen. I just had to honor our veterans and those who are serving in the military. A lot of times we don't acknowledge them, but we should. We should honor those who put their life in jeopardy for us. Last weekend, I had an amazing, amazing weekend because I was able to experience my oldest son get married. So today I want to publicly say to Lamar and Jamisha Burrell, congratulations. Always keep God first and always keep people out of your business. Remember that for all of you newlyweds. Remember that God needs to be the center. He needs to be the core. He needs to be your everyday conversation in order to grow together, to bind together. And I mean bind, stay together. When he breathe, you breathe. Amen. When he's thinking about something, you're saying something. That's how you become one. Amen. If he's having a moment, you can discern what's going on, and you can make that moment even shorter. And only how we can do that is by knowing God and putting God in the center of our lives. So again, I want to congratulate you, Lamar and Jamisha. This week we have another Gleam of Hope guest, and today I'm going to be sitting down for the very first time with this awesome woman. Her name is Marcia Chambers, and she's from Brooklyn, New York. Yes, she's one of our New York friends, and she is truly an expert at public speaking. Whether you are a radio host, a minister, a coach, a motivational speaker, you have to speak to the people. You are speaking to the public, amen. Even you are at home speaking to your children, amen. Sometimes conversations that you need to have, you might feel, you know, funny or uncomfortable, scared, anxiety. But truly today, Marcia Chambers is going to help us, and she's going to show us the way how we can perfect, how we communicate, how we converse, how we deliver our messages to one another. So I'm truly honored that she's going to be here with us. And I'm honored that you came back to join us this Saturday morning. I'm honored that our radio angel, Kim M. Sutters, is in the building. So every time you hear a tune, it's definitely her switching it. So at this very moment, we're going to hear from her because guess what? We are about to take our first commercial here on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. Stay tuned, and we'll be back with information in regards to our guest, Marcia Chambers.
What would I do if the Lord took his arms from around me? I'd succumb to the grips of the unknown. But I know I'm not supposed to feel this way. I know that I'm supposed to trust you every day. But it gets so hard to keep it all moving. Sometimes I feel like I'm losing. Bothering me. It's written in your eyes.
A Toastmasters for 2.5 years and has over 10 years of sales experience in the real estate industry. She coaches entrepreneurs in speech presentation and honing their sales skills. She brings her experience in overcoming her fear of presenting to small and large audiences to help clients gain confidence and finesse with offering their elevator pitches and seamlessly. Before becoming a sales trainer and coach, Marcia worked as a realtor for over 10 years in the New York tri-state area. Today, she brings her advanced credentials as a Toastmasters Club Vice President of Public Relations Club President. She is doing awesome, phenomenal things. She is an area governor, and recently she has been nominated for the division director. So we want to welcome Miss Marcia Chambers all the way from Brooklyn, New York, to the Morning Glory International Community Development, where we are excited to have you on our radio show. One voice, one sound, one love, one family, like Kingdom Life Temple would say. Welcome to the Morning Glory, Voices of Hope, Marcia Chambers.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for having me. One love, one family. That is so universal.
Thank you, thank you. That is our motto at Kingdom Life Temple, and being a part of an awesome ministry, as I was just introducing you, I just really felt that you were one family, meaning that we connected through our radio angel, Kim M. Sutters, and all of the stuff that you're doing. You are truly a woman after God's people to help them overcome their fears, whether they're speaking in small or large arenas. You know the challenges that individuals face because you've walked this walk. So that's why we're honored for you to be here. So we shout out Toastmasters and for bringing you to us. Let's get started with our questioning because I know the lines are going to be open in a little bit, and I just want to get started. Prior to becoming a Toastmaster, club vice president and getting involved with it, you spent some time, 10 years in the realtor sector. Tell us about your experience working in that sector.
What was my experience working as a real estate agent?
Yes.
As a realtor, I came from a background in the corporate environment working with attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some kind of finesse with one-on-one. And I really enjoyed, I had dabbled with real estate, and I really enjoyed the aspect of helping someone to accomplish their dream. So I really liked that perspective that real estate gave to the successful end result, so to speak. And dealing with people one-on-one, buyers looking for homes, that was fine. And I decided with my broker that we needed to really inform these people, so we started to give educational forums.
Mm-hmm.
And I would provide all the materials and get everything together. We would have workshops, 50-60 people would show up at a time. So all the background information, the marketing, the publicity, the training materials, getting the room together, all of that I would do, but I would never present, never.
Mm-hmm.
I would always ask someone else, one of my colleagues, could you present this? And they would oblige. And everything was fine. We would get people to sign up, and people would, you know, just seek our services. Well, there came a day when the go-to person could not be there, and I had to do the presentation. Can I tell you, Kim? I was beside myself. I was so racked with nerves that I just could not perform. It's not that I didn't know the material. I knew the material.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not, I was looking at 60 pairs of eyes looking at me, questioning, what is she saying? Is she talking to us? What is she talking about? I don't understand. People were literally getting up, walking out of the room, because the communication was not there. It's not that I didn't know the material. I knew the material. I just could not communicate it. So someone said to me, you ever heard of Toastmasters? I thought it was a drinking club. I'm like, Toastmasters? Oh, we're going to go toast? No. It's a speaking club. I didn't pursue it then. But then I went to another function, and someone else in the conversation, Toastmasters came up again. I said, you know, the universe is trying to tell me something. So then I sought Toastmasters, and I never looked back.
You know, it's amazing how you started out doing one thing and God transitioned you to something else, which is now helping people, coaching people, guiding people, inspiring people to perfect their gifts, their talents, whether they're speaking in a large arena or a smaller one. It is so important. And one of the things that you said was the go-to person. When that go-to person is not available, when it's time for you to step up, because you always stayed in the background, you knew what to do, but there was something about presenting to your audience. What do you believe, since you have coached many people throughout the tri-state, what do you believe is that barrier that causes us to do just like you did? We want to set up. We have all the presentation. We do all the setting up. We become the event planners. You know, it's our vision, but we want to make the planning. But we never want to go up behind that stadium, behind that pulpit. We never want to go up on that stage and look out into the audience, the people who we invited. Now, we invited them to come. We greet them at the door, but we're not going up giving them no knowledge what we have inside. What do you think is that barrier between us and them?
We succumb to the fear, the fear of just standing and having a conversation. We look at it in a debilitating manner, saying that, oh, my God, I have to present to all these people, when actually at the end of the day, you're merely having a conversation. How many times do we have conversations with people?
Right.
A lot of people will say, oh, I have no problems doing a one-on-one, which was also my finesse. I had no problems having a conversation with one-on-one, eye-to-eye, something kind of intimate. Well, why not perceive the same thing? You have a crowd of 60 eyes. Pick one person and just have a conversation, because that's all it is. It's a conversation. So the fact that we succumb to the fear, then we are our own worst enemy, because then now we debilitate ourselves. And all it is, take a deep breath and just speak. Just speak. And the more you practice, which is what I love about Toastmasters, it gives you that learn by doing. The more you do it, the better you become at it. Because isn't that how we learn anyway?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
At first, we know that we're unconsciously incompetent at whatever it is. Then we know that we're consciously incompetent. Then we become consciously competent. And then it gets habitual, where it's unconsciously competent. So those are the four stages that everyone goes through in any learning process. And this is no different. The more you do it, the more unconsciously competent you become.
I love that.
And that's
because
where
that
the
is so
self-confidence
true.
Comes in. Yeah, that's where the confidence comes in.
But you have to do it. You have to, it has to be consistent. And I think that also when it comes with fear, when you say about that unconsciousness, when we don't acknowledge it, then we allow it to overcome us, like you were saying earlier. So now, okay, I go to Toastmasters, I go maybe a couple of times, but then I find other things to distract me, so then I'm not going a third and fourth time. I don't go back, and I don't continue to pursue what I really want because I'm afraid that the people might critique me. I'm afraid that people might say that I'm not good or qualified for doing what I've been gifted to do. So all that plays a factor, and it's scary, honestly, Marcia, because I know I have this burning desire. I know my life experience wants me. My life experience wants me to share it with someone else because there's an audience, there's a platform, there are individuals who need to know my story to help them get through their current situation. But all of these barriers, all of these factors are there, and I believe what you are doing here on our show today, what you are doing in the coming months will help us to overcome that, but we have to make that first initial step by admitting to our fears and then allowing our fears and time to release, as a release, when we tense up, to allow our muscles, to allow everything about us to just release and just go through its tunnel, go through its channels, and we build our confidence, and we have a place called Toastmasters. We have an awesome coach, which is called Marcia Chambers, and we get the help that we need so we can perfect our craft. How about that? How does that
sound? That sounds great. Yeah, that sounds great. But remember, at the end of the day, charity begins at home. It all starts with you. You have to make that decision that you want to change. I can't make that decision for you. I can only say to you, hey, here is a comfortable place where you could feel free to mess up, be yourself. No judgment. We're like the Planet Fitness, because in actuality, you are coming to training and working out a muscle. And when you work, the more you work that muscle, the more developed and the more toned and the more finesse that you achieve.
Awesome. So when we come back, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Amen. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Toastmasters, because, we're talking about it. But give us really, what is Toastmasters? Is it for me? Amen. For our listeners who are here today, what type of club is it? Like one of the things you said, it's like a Planet Fitness. Amen. You help, amen, us get stronger in that muscle, amen, that has not been used for a while, amen. And you're not there to judge, you're there to help, instruct, and there's a loving and caring and nurturing environment. So let's hear more about Toastmasters and where you are at in Toastmasters. We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. This is your girl, Minister Kim, family and friends, with our special guest this morning, Marcia Chambers, all the way from Brooklyn, New York. We'll be back.
Ladies, would you like to feel more confident, more empowered, all while simply being yourself? I can tell you firsthand that there is nothing more beautiful than a woman knowing exactly who she is. You're special, unique, and you have gifts and talents that make you an individual. Hi, my name is Kimberly Arrington, and I am the creator of I Am Me University, a unique online community of amazing women around the world, all committed to shine. We're just like you. I'm just like you, and it's time to be amazing, to stop being afraid, to live the life that you know you deserve. I'm so honored and blessed to be a woman, and you should be too. You have more in you than you realize, so won't you join us and get ready to be your best self? You can join us at www.immeuniversity.com, and let's let the world know that we are here.
Welcome back. That was our very own sister friend, Kimberly Arrington, inviting our audience to be a part of the IME University. And I'm really, really encouraging you, my sisters, amen, dealing with various issues. And, you know, we wear many hats and lots of makeup, that you get involved in the IME University, and they really help you to be a gleam of hope inside and out. So definitely check out their website at www.imeuniversity.com. I just have to read this before we go into Marcia explaining to us Toastmasters, giving us a little history of it and just what takes place at Toastmasters. Fear is an emotion induced by a threat perceived by living entities, which causes a change in brain and organ function and ultimately a change in behavior, such as running away, hiding, or freezing from traumatic events. Just like when we're talking, when we're speaking about public speaking, when we're talking about a small gathering or a large gathering, fear will cause you to run away and hide or freeze up. We call that stage fright. But today we have a woman who has experience, who has walked through this channel and says, hey, I stamp approval for Toastmasters. I am the club vice president. I am a regional governor. I'm here to coach you, to help you. But before we went to commercial, she said, you know what? Charity starts at home. We can give you the information, but you have to accept the invitation. So, Marcia, after 10 years being in real estate, being an agent, preparing these awesome seminars to educate, and I thank you for doing that, because I know for me, being a buyer, wanting to purchase property, you know, the realtors that I had, they were not teaching me what I needed to know about the market. I had to do my own research, and that could become, you know, confusing, you know, frustrating. So I thank you for not only wanting to sell property, but also you wanted to teach them. You wanted them to grow. You wanted them to understand what they was about to embark on. So I'm pretty sure the same way that you handled that assignment that was given to you by God, you do the same thing when it comes to Toastmasters. So now in Toastmasters, you wear a variety of hats. You're on different levels, which is amazing. You've only been there for 2.5 years, so you are committed and you believe in Toastmasters. Tell us the history and what you have gained from Toastmasters to help our audience this morning to say yes.
Well,
just to give you a little background about Toastmasters itself, in the event that there are people in your audience who have no idea what Toastmasters is all about. Mm-hmm. Toastmasters was founded in 1927 by Dr. Ralph C. Smedley. And he founded it at a YMCA. Mm. He worked at a YMCA as an educational director, and he spoke with these young men who seemed to lack self-confidence or even conversational skills. So he decided that he wanted to help them. And he figured that in helping them, they would be better presenters when they go for a job interview, because this is in the 1920s. And in doing that, he decided that he would name it something that would be attractive. So all these business acumen were coming into place. He had to attract them to him, law of attraction. Mm-hmm. So he called it Toast, and their mastering skills, Masters, Toast Masters. Mm. That being said, he helped quite a few young men. Word spread, he decided, let me open up a club. He opened up a club. And in the beginning, it was dedicated, you know, his target audience were men. Then someone else got wind of it and decided, oh, Canada. And then it spread to Canada. And from there on, it's been spreading to over 126 countries for the past 90 years. So the syllabus, the Learn by Doing syllabus, which Mr. Smedley has put in place, has been working for millions of people. Millions of people have gone through the Toastmasters process. And their initial reason for doing that was because they wanted to get over their fear of public speaking. But the small caveat that everyone seems to miss is that Toastmasters is more than just a public speaking club. It's a leadership organization. I joined. Yes, my initial was to get over my fear of public speaking. And in doing so, I realized that this newfound confidence, this newfound leader that I have tapped into, has aspired and become, in the past 2.5 years, a VP of public relations for my club. I was an assistant area governor for my club. For my area. And then I moved up in the ranks and I became the president of my club, which is what I currently am. I'm the president of my club at LIU Brooklyn Toastmasters. I'm also the area governor for Area 43. So I deal with at least 4 or 5 different club presidents and vice presidents in my particular area. I help them to help their membership, not only to be better at what they do as a club, not only to help our district, also for the one-on-one individual who came there seeking change, to help them to realize these changes. So it's a position where I never thought that I would be. I went up for, I campaigned for the position of being division governor. So a division governor would now be overseer or manager, for lack of a better word, of about 7 or 8 clubs. So that's just a higher ranking. I didn't make the cut. It was done by voting. But that was also an experience that I said, you know, I was even proud that I went to campaign for something like that. Because even though I'm political, I never saw myself as extending myself beyond a certain parameter. So it's not the fact whether you win or lose, it's the fact that you played the game. And this is what we try to impart to people, it's not about the judgment of, oh, I got to win. No, forget about the competition. It's the fact that you even did not succumb to that fear and you stood up in front of a room to overcome whatever that insecurity that you were feeling before. You conquered the turmoils within and said, you know, I am going to stand in front of you whether I speak coherently or not. I'm standing in front of you, and I'm doing it, and I'm talking to you. So that's the first step. And once you make that first step, like I said, Toastmasters is a learn by doing organization. You make that first step, you can start making other steps, because if you're 300 pounds and you say, I want to be 100 pounds, you have to make one step in the direction of trying to be 100 pounds. You have to make that step in the direction of change. It's the same thing. You can't succumb to your fear and expect that, okay, I'm going to be the best orator ever. You have to make one step at a time towards making change. And the other thing that I love with Toastmasters is, especially in our club, once you sign that application form and you pay your dues, we pair you with a mentor. A mentor is someone who has walked the walk, at least for a little while, in that club. So they can show you, okay, this is what I learned while I was here. Maybe you could try this. Would you like me to help you craft your speeches? Even though you get manuals and there's a syllabus, sometimes people want someone else to show them. Show me the ropes. So these are the things that we do with Toastmasters. And this is why there's no judgment, because we are compassionate enough to know, hey, we've been there. Been there, done that. So we know what you're going through. And Toastmasters branches to all industries. Like I said, it's in 126 countries worldwide, from the Caribbean all the way to East Africa, to the Middle East, to Australia. It's all over the world. It's a name, it's a brand that's renowned, it's a brand that stands the test of time. It's been around for 90 years. And the beauty about that is that everyone has that one simple problem that they came to Toastmasters to solve. I read somewhere that people, I think 98% of the people, said that they would rather be in a coffin than to be standing in front and giving a public speech. 98%, that's deep.
Yes,
they'd
very
rather
deep.
Be dead.
Yes. They kill themselves off because they don't want to speak in front of people.
Yes. So we have Toastmasters that are in the U.S. Senate, Toastmasters in the Federal Reserve, Toastmasters that are in Google, Toastmasters that are in regular law firms, real estate agencies. We have Toastmasters all over the globe. And it's a rich stomping ground for networking with people, meeting other people. And the more confident that you become in your own skin, the easier it is to speak with another. Hey, how are you? And realize that, hey, this one organization brought us all together.
Yes. One of the greatest individuals that I have met, and I remember when he first came out, and this is how I connected with him, is with Gladys Knight, is Les Brown, and, you know, learning his background. He also learned how to craft his gift that God has given him and became an awesome public speaker, well-renowned motivational speaker, Les Brown. And he'll tell you that he learned from the best, which was Toastmasters. He'll tell you that, you know, he'll let you know. And he's phenomenal. He has changed millions of people's lives, and he continues to do that. You know, we also know another young lady who worked beside him, and she's been doing phenomenal. She just opened up her own universal diversity, and I'm just excited what we are seeing through Toastmasters. Look at you, what you're saying. 2.5 years, how you're growing and how you're now able to help other individuals, you're coaching them, and we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, you're going to let us know what's next, what you're going to be doing, and I it's just phenomenal what you're going to do, and this is for our entrepreneurs. So I'm excited for the new move, what Toastmasters is doing, what you're doing in your region, in your area, in your club, and we definitely want to be connected to you. So we'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope with Minister Kim, family and friends, and our special guest, Marcia Chambers. Brooklyn, New York is definitely in the house. We shout you out, Brooklyn.
Did you know that your body is made up of mostly water?
We can't live without it.
Delicious.
I can't live without my water. Water is the drink for me. I can't live without my water. And the best part, water's free.
Juice and soda are dessert.
That's why we choose water first.
Water helps us stay alive. Have some water, give me five. I can't live without my water. Water is the drink for me. I can't live without my water. And the best part, water's free. Water washes out the bad stuff. Water washes in the good.
Water is the best choice all the time
for kids of every age.
Learn more at ZuberTubers.com.
Yes. Welcome back to Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. I was sipping on my glass of water. This is one of the things that we have a little sidebar here in our studio, Kim and I. Due to the fact she's always been a gallon of water girl, yes. Make sure she takes some pictures this summer. She's a gallon of water. Actually, Kim walks around with a gallon of water, and she drinks it. And I would be like, Kim, really? It is not hot in here. But she just really acquired water, and she knew the benefits of water. One of the things that I was challenged this year, Marcia, at Watch Night at Kingdom Life, was make decisions. Whatever decisions you make, you need to be accountable for. My pastor preached that, you know, we got to make decisions. And one of the things, when I came back on the air, I said, you know what, I'm going to drink water. I want to drink more water. I want to take care of my temple. And I have been doing that, and we are, what, 6 months, 5 months into the year, and I acquire water. And now I can really say to her, I'm like, Kim, yo, I have my water today. Like, I feel funny. I feel strange because I do need it, and I know it's important for the body to function. So we definitely have that commercial up, just not for kids, but for everyone, all of our audience, our listeners. We want you to be healthier. We want you to live a healthy lifestyle. And one of the things that you need to do is acquire more water, have more water intake so that you can be hydrated. We don't want you to get dehydrated. We want you to be hydrated. We want you to be able to function well. And I'm telling you, it really has changed my life, drinking water. And I must shout out my boot camp, my coach. I have a coach, Marcia, and I've been in boot camp. I've been in my training Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. You can always check me out on my wall, and you can see I'm working out now. So I'm not just saying it, but I'm doing it. Just like I hear you, Marcia, saying, I used to have these fears of speaking in small and large group settings, and here I am now, a part of Toastmasters, one of the leading ladies, and I am there to coach others on. So I know I brought up Les Brown, and there's so many other people who have come through Toastmasters, and you're definitely here to reiterate the importance of being part of it and how global and international it is. So it's definitely reaching and transitioning individual lives. So I want to talk about what you are doing. You're about to do something which is phenomenal. We have many entrepreneurs who have paved the way here with us, and they're still our family and friends, and we thank God for them. So how important it is for a newbie entrepreneur, a seasoned entrepreneur, to seek Toastmasters, to seek coach training from Toastmasters to help them perfect their speaking engagement?
Well, Toastmasters is, how would I say this? Toastmasters is important in every facet of life, as you basically hinted at. Even if you're a wife, even if you're a husband, you're a bus driver, you are dealing with the public. So in essence, you are doing public speaking. And it's so distracting to have a conversation, even just a telephone call. I had a conversation the other day with a friend of mine. And after being in Toastmasters, I get so attuned to what we call filler words. We have what's called an ah counter, who counts every ah. So, like they count those as filler words, and people use those as crutches. Before, and we've been friends for a long time, this lady and I, and it never bothered me, I guess, because I was part of that same filler word user, for lack of a better genre. Talking with her, I started to realize, wow, it's so distracting because every other sentence that she spoke to me, I don't even remember what the conversation was all about because I was so distracted by, I was so distracted by that. And Toastmasters just gives you a different perspective in having a conversation because now you learn, compose yourself, take a deep breath and pause. Compose your thoughts, and then you speak. Same thing with a person who is in business. You go to a store or someone's trying to present their product or their wares to you, and they can't even get it out because they didn't compose their thought beforehand to say, this is what I'm about. This is the problem I'm trying to solve. Would you like me to tell you a little bit more about what I have to offer? They don't know how to do that, even adept with how to network properly. There are a lot of places that will host a networking event, and people will bring their business cards, and they'll go around, hey, my name is Marcia, I'm a Toastmaster, and I want to meet you, and they just, I call it the vomiting. It's all about them. it seems like it's all about them.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but see, you just took me mentally at someone vomiting. Because you're right. Like, you're vomiting. Like, shut up. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes. And I can't tell you how many of these functions that I've been to. And yes, I used to vomit on people myself.
Yes.
Until I realized, listen, any sales, it's not about you. It's about them. You have something, but you have to find out how it will work for them. If I met you at a networking function, Kim, and I know that I'm a Toastmaster, and I have my Toastmasters business cards, and I'll shake your hand. Now, some people will shake your hand, and they'll give you the dead fish. You know what the dead fish is? They shake the tips of your fingertips. As if, I really don't want to touch you. What is that? That's not a good handshake. Or they'll shake your hand and they're looking somewhere else. They're looking behind you. They're looking to the side of you. They're not focusing on you. Whether it's shyness or they're just rude. Or I come to you, I shake your hand. And I say, hey, my name is Marcia. What's your name? Now I have to pause.
some people don't even pause. They don't even give you a chance to respond. So these are all the things. Hello? Hello? Marcia?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm here because I'm like, wait a minute. Yes, I was doing the pause for you. Like, I was listening. Because you're right. Immediately, and I'll just say for me, you know, I had to learn through going back, listening to my recording, I would do the same thing, like, like I had a froze moment. I could not compose my thoughts. I was nervous. Or when I introduced someone, I went right into talking again because my nerves. I'm nervous. I'm not composing myself. So sometimes on my cue card, I started putting pause, like literally capitalizing so that I can cue myself, because some of these things are habitual that we do. And you're so right. And we need to be trained. We need to continue to learn new ways, exercise what we learn, and put them in action. And Toastmasters is a great way of doing it. So please continue.
Yes, I was saying about the networking. And these are just little tidbits that people will, like you say, habitually do and not realize that, A, it doesn't serve a purpose, and, B, in an essence, it's impolite. You have to wait for the person to respond. You shake their hand. You look them in the eye. You let them know, I acknowledge your presence now. Because it's all about the now. I'm speaking to you. I have to let you know, I am listening to you. I am hearing you. Because an innate quality of the human race is that we all want to be heard or acknowledged. It's as simple as that. I want to know that you care about what I'm saying. Even when a wife and a husband have an argument, they'll say, you're not hearing me. You didn't understand me. You're not listening to me. Yeah, people want to be heard. So in a networking forum, you shake their hand. You acknowledge their presence. You look them in the eye. And you listen to what they have to offer. Because people like to talk about themselves. And they will tell you what the problem is that you are there to solve. So if you just listen and ask them, so what is your name? How are you doing? And it doesn't have to be, so what do you do? Oh, what kind of business are you in? No, just a conversation. It comes right back down to the fact that this is all about a conversation. So Toastmasters has a particular forum and a particular format that they go by, and they usually don't allow certain topics to be discussed in a regular Toastmasters meeting. They shy away from religion, politics, and they don't want people to feel like they're being sold, so they don't entertain someone coming and talking about their business to a Toastmasters environment. Well, being from a sales background and seeing what Toastmasters has done for me, I said, nobody talks about the entrepreneurs. And after suffering through all these networking events and people vomiting on me, I decided, well, let's try something different. I'm all about the different. I subscribed to the Blue Ocean Strategy. The Blue Ocean Strategy was talked about by these two Harvard professors, Kim Harbor, and Dr. Kim and Ms. Harbor, and they spoke that in order to eliminate the competition, you create your own niche. So don't compete with what everybody else is doing. Being a part of the red ocean, everybody is doing the same thing, and they're just trying to do it a little better, do it a little better, do it a little better. Do something totally different, and that's what we're doing. Toastmasters for Entrepreneurs is dedicated to
the entrepreneur who's just thinking about starting a business, or the entrepreneur who has started a business, or the entrepreneur who is already in business. Because at the end of the day, even though you may be in a business, mm-hmm. you might want to expand that business and you need to know how to tweak it, or you might want to change up a little bit and you need to evolve. For example, Dwayne Reed used to sell just pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. Now Dwayne Reed is selling food and groceries. That's some kind of business plan that was planned into their action.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing that, we opened a Toastmasters group for entrepreneurs, chartering that club, and all entrepreneurs are welcome. We have a motto that says, think it, do it, be it, the game changers. That's our slogan. Think it, do it, the game changers. Because at the end of the day, as an entrepreneur, you are living your passion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not living your passion, then you're doing a disservice to the world, because you are placed here to live your passion. Our life is supposed to be joyous. And you can't do a 9-to-5 when you don't like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I'll come across you on the street and you'll have a scowl or a sour face, and you won't be conversant, and you won't be a happy person, and you'll try to spread that misery to me. So live your passion, and that's what we're all about. And we incorporate a different syllabus, or we marry the two syllabi, I should say. The Toastmasters learn by doing 10-step process, where you do one speech to 10 speeches, and in doing so, you garner self-confidence and you are more efficient at speaking and orating. Well, these 10 speeches in the Toastmasters for Entrepreneurs Club are all about duction. To your 10th speech, you are composing your business plan, from the executive summary to investigating what your industry, your competition, your product, all of that, even your marketing plan, you touch on that. This is what you're doing. And Toastmasters is a multi-layered program. So even though you have a foundational program, you have three levels of an advanced program. And we marry the same thing in our club, with the foundation being the business plan. Then you do your marketing plan. Then you do your financial plan. And then you fully launch. Being a Toastmaster is not a sprint. It's a marathon. So it teaches you commitment. And in staying committed to the course, staying true to what you are supposed to do, and you're doing it properly.
Awesome, awesome. Now, you had your first gathering on May 6th. So tell us how, for those who are not able to be a part of it that day, how can they join now?
We have a Toastmasters website, or a club website, and it's www.tmthenumber4entrepreneurs.org. When you log on, you would see everything about us, how to join, how to attend, when our meetings are. Our meetings are usually the first Wednesday and the third Thursday of every month. And every month we have a guest speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And the guest speaker is someone who's in business who comes back to give back to the community by sharing their knowledge and their expertise in a 5-to-7-minute speech, so to speak, and incorporate a 3-minute Q&A segment. This past Thursday, we had a meeting, and we had a lady, Miss Corinne Walwin.
Mm-hmm.
She is a CPA and tax accountant, and she came back to share her knowledge about
business tips for entrepreneurs in the tax arena. And it was very well received, very well received. So our next meeting is going to be on Wednesday, June 3rd. Okay. And our meeting starts at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we incorporate a 15-minute networking session before the meeting and after the meeting. So from 7 to 7:15, everyone who comes there, they network with each other, exchange cards, and talk to each other. So there's some semblance of familiarity. And we have what's called a table topic segment where from month to month it differs. So 1 month we'll have game night. And we had game night this past meeting. And we incorporate everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone goes in groups and they form their own little think tanks in whatever the task is at hand. So it creates that social bonding and it creates teamwork and it creates the environment where I can depend on you to come up with this idea. Okay, let's present it. So it's phenomenal, and everyone has fun. Everyone has fun. So we're all about the fun, and we're all about the business.
Awesome. We thank you so much for just stopping by our studio this morning, providing our audience inspiration regarding public speaking and how to perfect the gift that God has given them. Toastmasters, we want to hear more about the Toastmasters, the entrepreneurship portion that you started up. We want to thank you so much, Marcia Chambers, for being who you are and continue to be in the light, the beacon of hope for all of us today and for tomorrow. Be not a stranger and come back and be a part of our show. God bless you and enjoy the rest of this phenomenal weekend.
And I thank you for the opportunity, Kim, and God bless you too. Have a
thank
good day.
You. You too.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Man, what's this feeling? I'm supposed to be stronger than this. I need your help. I gotta get this thing together. Oh God.
Looking at the walls, feeling like they're closing in on me. Scared I might fall, crazy like tripping over my own feet. What would I do if the Lord took his arms from around me? I'd succumb to the grips of the unknown. But I know I'm not supposed to feel this way. I know that I'm supposed to trust you every day. But it gets so hard to keep it all moving. Sometimes I feel like I'm losing.
Bothering me. It's written in your words.
Thank you.
Welcome back, and it has been truly an awesome, awesome show with our guest, Inspirational Occult, Marcia Chambers, and we definitely want to give you more information regarding Toastmasters Entrepreneurship as you like us on Facebook today. That is the Morning Glory IVO Hope. Now we go into our next segment, which I love so dearly, is In the Hood. What is happening in your hood that will cause us to want to promote it here on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope? Send us an email at hope@themorningglory.org, and we'll definitely review it and definitely start speaking and promoting it on our community page. This day, we have some information for you. We have the Small Business Expo, which is happening in New York City. We're going to have our radio angel elaborate on that. Kim, can you tell us more about the Small Business Expo that's happening in New York City?
Well, I definitely recommend that all entrepreneurs, especially new entrepreneurs, come on down and participate in this because, like Marcia said, it's all about networking, all about networking. And so this gives us an opportunity to be able to network with other entrepreneurs, seasoned ones as well as new ones. This will be a great opportunity. It's here in New York City. It's happening June 4th at the Jacob Javits Center. Woohoo! We all
yes.
know about the Jacob Javits Center. Mm-hmm. So it's actually happening June 4th, and we have a link up on our website, I'm sorry, our Facebook page with the information, so you can just click onto that link and go right ahead. Now, I just want to go into something really quickly. There's something happening right here in the Bronx for all our Bronx Knights, all the people who are looking to start businesses right here in the Bronx. Well, guess what? There is a free 3-day business startup right here in the Bronx. It's happening June 4th. It's a 3-day, so it's June 5th, 6th, and 7th. So it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and that's actually happening in 2 weeks from now. You can go up on our website and take a look. Let me open it up really quickly. Okay, so it is being hosted. See, this is the thing with technology and me not having no, and me not having my glasses on. Let's talk about that, why don't we? But here's the website, Bronx3DayStartup.org. Bronx3DayStartup.org. You go on our Facebook page. It's listed there. This is being sponsored by the Green Workers Corporation and the Knowledge House. So you can go right over to our website, our Facebook page, and pick it up there. Back over to you, Minister Kim.
Thank you so much for a wealth of information, which is truly inspirational to us today. I have an awesome event, which I'm going to be a part of, and I'm always excited when our leaders give us an opportunity to take part in upcoming events. So at Kingdom Life Temple, we are having our annual Health and Fitness Summit. This is taking place on Saturday, June 13, between the hours of 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And what I love about this event, Kim, it is absolutely free. We're going to have vendors who are coming out to share a wealth of information that's going to help you to be healthier and also to help you save and accomplish that dream that you have. Yes, we got to talk about health and we got to talk about finances. We're going to have Sean Toblin. He's going to come back from New York Life. That was awesome last year. We're also going to have this awesome man, Louis LeBoy. Can we remember him? We've had him here on our radio show. And he is going to really talk about addiction because he's in addiction medicine. He's also a formal user, and he is transparent about his life, so I'm not disclosing anything that he has not done but now being a director of NACO Freedom here in the Bronx, he is able to go out with his outreach team and really empower the community. And what I love about Kingdom Life Temple, and I thank you, Pastor Thomas S. Cooper and First Lady Cooper, that you have no respect of persons, meaning you are not judgmental, and you're allowing this team to come in and empower our community to speak to someone. You never know what family member is dealing with addiction. I'm talking about substance abuse, alcohol, heroin, cocaine, barbiturates. I'm talking about synthetic marijuana, cannabis, which is being used, which you can get here on the street, which our children are being affected by. And you just don't know how this hardship affects family. So we're going to have resources there that's going to help you to help that loved one who is dealing with addiction. There's going to be so many other things that's going to be there. There's going to be food there. We're going to have an awesome time. And I just want you to come out. So save the date, June 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And if you have an event, something that's coming up, and again, you feel like it's going to transition our lives, is going to help us in any facet of our life, please submit your information to us at www.themorningglory.org or email us at hope@themorningglory.org. We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope with myself, Minister Kim, family, and friends. Shout out to Radio Angel. You're doing a phenomenal job this Saturday morning. Love you.
It's about you. It's all about
how to connect with people. I just wrote a book. It came out about 3 weeks ago. It's entitled Everyone Communicates, Few Connect. It's very true, isn't it? Everybody talks. But haven't you seen people when they talked, nobody was home? Haven't there been times when you've been listening to somebody and just wanted to raise your hand and tell them it's okay, they can quit? You're all too young for this. Every one of you are too young, but when I was a kid, they had a program on TV called The Gong Show. And The Gong Show was just simply when you talked and nobody wanted to hear anymore, they just got a big mallet and they just gonged you. I mean, I've just said, dear God, we need a gong in every church. In fact, when I did the book, Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, I put it on my blog last September and released a chapter each week. I put a chapter on, release it, and then take it off, put the next chapter on for the 10 weeks. Over 100,000 people read the book with me on the blog, and I asked them to come back and talk to me. I said, as you read the book, tell me, you know, give me a good story, give me a better quote, help me improve the book. And they started improving the book literally by the hundreds and then the thousands, and we literally changed seven things in each chapter. I mean, we rewrote the book, and that's when I discovered none of us is as smart as all of us. And some of my best thinking has been done by others. I told them I'd give them credit. I literally put their pictures on the cover of the book. Put their names on the inside, the pictures on the inside. Literally hundreds of people. Told them I'd give them credit. I didn't tell them I'd give them royalties. Jesus was the great connector. Amen. If anybody ought to know how to connect, it ought to be his children. Yet, to be honest with you, I find some of them not even close. Not even close. Let me define connecting. Connecting is the ability to relate to and identify with people in such a way that it increases your influence with them. The ability to identify with and relate to people in such a way that it increases your influence with them. When we do it right, our increased influence is, what did Jesus say? He wanted us to be salt. He wanted us to be light. He wanted us to connect in such a way to fulfill the Great Commission that everywhere we went, we could draw people unto Him. I want to give you three very simple connecting thoughts tonight. These thoughts are going to be applied to your spiritual life. These thoughts could be applied to your business life. These thoughts could be applied to your family life. Thought number one about connecting. Very simple. Connecting is all about others. That's the grand foundation and principle of connecting. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about others. I was in my 20s in Dayton, Ohio, and I didn't understand this. I was a pastor, and I thought connecting as a leader was getting everybody to buy into my vision, to get to buy into the things that I loved and the principles that I held true. And I was constantly working hard on getting people to buy into me and to buy into everything around. And I was constantly saying, come on the team. Here, you don't you want to join this? Here's where we're going. Don't you want to get on the train? When I was in my 20s in Dayton, Ohio, I heard a man say, if you will help people first get what they want, they will help you get everything that you want. It literally changed my life. It was a eureka moment for me because at that time I realized that I was approaching connecting the wrong way. I was trying to get people to come where I was and connect with me. And so many times I see leaders, basically leaders who are up on the mountain and they're down and they're looking at the people down there and they're saying, hey folks, hey, come on up. Come on up, I'm up here. Come on, let's go. You've heard the expression, it's lonely at the top. A leader never said that. If you're at the top all alone, nobody's following you. If you're at the top all alone, you're not a leader, you're a hiker. And in my early years, I was trying to get people to come to the top. I was trying to keep people to join the team. I was trying to get people to get on the train. I tried, come on. And I did not understand that I have to get off the top. I have to go find the people. I've got to go where they are. And when I find where they are, then, hey, guess what I can do? I can help them go to the top together. That's why leaders never cross the finish line first. People who cross the finish line first are running alone. You see, leaders never cross the finish line first because when they come across, they're bringing people with them. Connecting is all about others. Now, as I look back at my early ministry, I know why I didn't understand that. I was immature. I was immature, and immature people don't think of others first, do they, huh? They're immature because they think of themselves first. That's what makes them immature. I know you're saying, well, let them get a little older. They'll grow up and they'll mature. Not necessarily. Maturity doesn't always accompany age. Many times age comes alone. I shared with you, we have 5 granddaughters. When we lived in Atlanta, our 2 oldest granddaughters at that time, Hannah and Maddie, were 5. At that time, Maddie and her family lived on the West Coast out in California, and we were in Atlanta, so the cousins didn't get to see each other a lot. When the cousins got together, they always stayed at our house. And every morning when Hannah and Maddie, these cousins, these 5-year-old cousins were together, they'd come down into the living room in the morning, and they call me Papa. That's my name. They call me Papa. They call Margaret Mimi. In fact, before the first grandchild was born, Margaret looked at me and said, what are the grandbabies going to call us? I said, I have no clue. I didn't even think about it. Well, she said, I've been thinking about them. I want them to call me Mimi. I said, I like that. But she said, I don't want them to call you Pee-Pee. So I said, I'll buy that too. So they call me Papa. When they come down every morning, they had a list for me. Because you see, Hannah and Maddie thought it was God created Papa to serve them. Oh yeah, they're 5. And they'd come down and they'd say, Papa, we want to do this. And they would give me the list. And, you know, I'd just hang with them. And whatever they said, that's what I guess I think that's my responsibility, to spoil the grandchildren. After all, that's what grandparents are for. And so we'd have our list and we'd go through our day. I promise you, on that list every day, because we lived on a golf course, is they wanted to get in the golf cart and they wanted to ride around the golf course. They'd love to do that. We'd go to the pond, see the ducks, you know, the whole deal. Now they had Hannah's younger brother at the time, John, was 2. Sometimes they let John go with me, sometimes they didn't. That was Hannah Mae's total decision. John was named after me. He gets the inheritance. Anyway. Every afternoon about 2, Hannah and Maddie, sometimes John, we get in the golf cart. We go down to the end of the driveway. Before we got to the end of the driveway, happened every time. Trust me, every time. Before we got to the end of the driveway, Hannah and Maddie say, "Papa, we're hungry. We need a snack." Which would mean the first place we'd go at the snack shop between the 9th and 10th hole. We'd go there. We all sat down. We ordered the very same thing. Hot dog with ketchup, potato chips, candy bar, ice cream, Diet Coke. I know what you're thinking. I know exactly. You're saying, that's not a very healthy diet. I know that. I don't care. I'm a grandparent. Trust me, I fed my kids healthy stuff. It doesn't help. It doesn't help. There was only one rule, and that is they couldn't tell. They couldn't tell the parents because parents are paranoid about some of those things. So that was our secret. Every evening during dinner time, the kids weren't hungry. The parents could never figure it out. Hannah and Maddie look at me. They'd wink, give me a thumbs up. Now, they're 5 years old. Every day, they had an agenda for me. It was all about them. It was not one time did Hannah and Maddie come down and say, "Papa, we've been thinking. You've done so much for us. What could we do for you?" You see, it doesn't enter a five-year-old mind that they should do something for someone else. It's okay when you're 5. It's sad when you're 35 and 45. And 55, and you haven't figured out. It's not about you. The first very simple principle of connecting is it's all about others. Leaders understand that the day they take up the mantle of leadership, they give up the right to think of themselves first. Leaders understand that the day that they become leaders, no longer do they live for themselves. If Jesus were here and he was talking about leadership tonight, he would tell you and me that leadership is servanthood. That's what it is. It's not about titles. It's about towels. And only the secure can stoop.
Up the way you see me. Thank you.
Today for our Leadership Corner for all of our youth, our aspiring mentors, amen, those who paved the way to help all of our young people. We want to thank you so much here on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. John Maxwell, about connecting, make sure on this week that you are teaching your children how to connect themselves with the right people. One of the things that I will encourage you to do is start helping them get involved in the community, volunteer, sign up, whether it's to a church, to the local YMCA, something that they like to do. It is so helpful when they're applying for these colleges, when they're applying for grants and scholarships. They want to see, organizations want to see what your children are doing. So let's make that happen on this week, okay? I love you guys. You know, this is another segment that I love. I just love all parts of the show. Let me just be real. We're going to be having our relationship experts come, and they're going to come and talk about when is it the perfect, the right time, the right moment to talk about money in a marriage. Yeah, that's interesting, right? When is the right time? Oh, I'm going to tell you this. I feel before you get married, you need to have a money discussion because that's important because we don't know who likes to spend or who likes to save. You got to come in the middle, so you got to make sure you handle that before you say, I do. Well, let's hear what our inspiration beauty, Kimberly Arrington, and Vincent K. Harris has to say. We'll be back.
Hey, Grand Hustle, homie. Yeah, it's the king, partner. You know I can't leave you without hollering at you one more time, right, baby? Okay. Mary, go, go.
Sexy boy, won't you be my almond joy, chocolate kisses, don't you see my eyes, boy, fixed on you tonight, boy, only one I want.
Today, fellas, we're going to talk about when is really the best time to bring up money in a relationship, and this is actually a topic that was given to us by one of our producers. And I said, wow, this is really a great topic. What do you think about that topic, BK?
It's a really good topic, and I think we all have varying opinions about it.
Yes.
So you know what? Let's rock out. Let's go.
Let's jump into it. So, man of the house, you got this one.
Okay, so personally, I've done it a number of ways. I've done it within the first month. I've done it within the first 3 months. And then and other times I've waited an entire 6 months to a year. I don't know if there's a right or wrong way to do it. I think it really depends on the two individuals and their maturity level.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, many times we as humans, you know, we're very, very guarded, especially mm-hmm. when we're in that new phase of a relationship. And I'm not exactly sure we're all ready to pretty much open up the closet and say, hey, this is where I am, this is who I am, and in some cases, these are my skeletons. I don't know if we're ready to do that, even down to our money. So I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to it, Kimberly. I really don't. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I agree. And I think the biggest thing for me, since unfortunately, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but fortunately, I happen to talk to a lot of women and gentlemen about this because of what I do for a living, and that is consulting those on relationships. And that is a big thing. Money is a big factor because we live in a financial world, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the first thing that any of us need to do, we really need to identify what type of relationship we're in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do believe that some relationships, it's necessary to talk about money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary. And in other relationships, it's not necessary at all. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the first thing you need to do is, first of all, establish that you are in a relationship, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm dating someone versus someone I'm looking at that we're going to buy a home together or I'm looking more long-term, I'm not having the same financial conversation with the guy that I'm dating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the biggest thing is to first identify, are we together?
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is it needs to be mutual. Because there are some instances, VK, and maybe you can tell me, some people think they're in a relationship, but the other partner is not in that relationship with them.
So
okay,
true.
Can I say that? It needs to be a mutual commitment, and especially when you start talking about money, because when you're talking about men and gentlemen, okay, I'm expecting an amen on this, money is very close to a man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If he is willing
mm-hmm.
to discuss his money with you, you are important, okay? Can I say that again?
That is correct. That is
you
correct.
You are in a place that he doesn't have most people. Can I say that as well?
Yes.
So you really need to know, first and foremost, if it's a mutual commitment. And then I'll go on to say this.
you know, all money conversations don't have to be serious. It can be something as simple as, hey, we're dating. Are we going Dutch? Because you need to know those things. The worst thing you can do, especially as a woman, VK, is to walk into a situation with a gentleman and not knowing if he's going to pay for your meal or if mm-hmm. he's going to pay for the evening. So I would say in those situations, establish who's going to pay for the evening, all the way up to once you know if you're in a committed relationship or higher, then really go in. But I'm with you, VK. I don't think it's a matter of time as much as it's a matter of maturity and where you see yourselves going. Does that help?
Yes, it does. And I agree. By the way, follow-up question. So women pay for dinners? Is that what you're suggesting, I guess, with Dutch?
Well, in some relationships, or when people are getting to know each other, you have all different types of ways of dating now, or even even in marriages. You know, everybody is not as old school and chivalrous as the man of the house, which I still love, you know, because mm-hmm. that's how I grew up, and that's what I appreciate. But also, I do understand that we live in a world now where women are making, you know, a substantial amount of money, or, you know, women are taking care of things. Now, this is not to say just because we are making money now that we should be paying for dinners, but I don't think it's anything wrong with paying every now and then. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But, yeah, women are paying for dinners. Mm-hmm. Wah, wah, wah.
Hmm. Wow.
Speaking of dinners and lunches, I'm not paying for your lunch today, and I know you wouldn't accept it anyway.
No, I am the old school guy.
Yes, you're such a gentleman.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, what do you think about that? What do you think about, because I know you are old school when it comes to that, what do you think about that with women taking care of some of those things?
Is there anything wrong with it? No. Do I prefer it? No.
Hmm.
Do I think, again, I'm an old school guy. Okay,
right.
One of the greatest compliments I've ever received in my life. I was going out on a date, young lady I was dating at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I go to pick her up, right? So I'm still mm-hmm. the guy who I don't believe in honking horns, and I don't know, go to the door, ring the doorbell, you know, greet your date. So I go in, she's not quite ready just yet. She looks as if she was rushed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I said, you know, are you ready? Do you need anything? Yeah, I think I should grab a jacket. Yeah, you know what, that's great. I was like, okay, so I'm ready. So I was like, well, do you need your purse? In my mind, I'm thinking purse means, you know, makeup or whatever women mm-hmm. carry in their purse. I don't know. By the way, that's mm-hmm. something else I don't do either. I don't mm-hmm. go through a woman's purse. Like, that's just weird to me. But anyway, it really is. So I said to her, hey, listen, you know, do you want to grab your purse? She says to me with a straight face, it was the greatest compliment ever. She says, Vince, I don't need a purse. I'm with you. Implying that she knows that anything that we're doing for those 2 to 3 hours, she knows she's going to be taken care of from a financial perspective as well as from a protective perspective. In other words, I'm replacing her dad for those 2 to 3 hours.
Mm.
So it's my responsibility to step in and do that in which he would do, which is give his best. So,
I love that.
Yeah, you know, so I'm old school like that, but that doesn't mm-hmm. mean that someone else's way is wrong. I'm not implying mm-hmm. that at all. It's just mm-hmm. I believe it works for that particular man. Mm-hmm. And some men like me, we prefer not from a egotistical way. No, we're just old-fashioned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we still open doors. I mean, mm-hmm. Kimberly, you have the ability to open up your own door. However,
right.
some of us
right.
who are old-fashioned, we say to ourselves, that's a lady right there. Let's open up mm-hmm. that door. But that doesn't mean it's coming from an egotistical perspective. And likewise, the same thing mm-hmm. applies when it comes to paying for a date. Know
mm-hmm.
that woman's with you. You have that responsibility for those 2 to 3 hours. Again, as her father would do, you do mm-hmm. give her your best.
I appreciate that so much because what has happened is that we've seen a shift. And like you said, not of it all comes from an egotistical standpoint. It's a very chivalrous thing to do. And also, you know, when we say things like old school, it almost seems like it's out of date. Right?
Yes.
But it's actually not. It's actually, these things are actually foundational. For those
mm-hmm.
of us, you know, we live in a culture now that don't have a lot of two-parent homes, especially in the Black community anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know, let's just take it, let's just even take it pre-America. Ooh, we're going way back, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going way back. But, you know, these things are foundational where the man, you know, takes care of these things that are financial, and that's why they're called a provider, right? I don't
mm-hmm.
see anything wrong with it. And like with you, I don't see anything wrong with where women are going as well, but understand with every new thing, every reward, there comes a consequence with it, all right? So, you know, we don't want to be so independent. I'm going to say that. I'm a woman. I don't want to be too independent for a man. Can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what. I don't care who I am or what I have, because that's just me. I love being, you know, catered to, because I'm going
right.
to cater to my man too, right? I'm going to do that. I don't mind taking care of him where money is concerned if I love and care about him, but on a whole, you know, I look at him as taking the position as my father as well. And for those of you who are not familiar with that, don't get that twisted, okay? No, we're not looking for a father figure. But
right.
what happens is, gentlemen, when you have a young daughter, and I don't care how old she gets, you want her to be in the best hands possible. And that
That's
means
right.
that you want to raise her in a way where she sees you in that man. If you are
mm-hmm.
a great father, which I believe all of you are, you're great, you have the potential to be great fathers, then you want that man to be able to provide and protect for, you know, your woman. And also you
mm-hmm.
want her to, you know, have her own as well, right? Okay.
That's right. That's right.
I hope that
hey.
Helped.
Grand Hustle, homie. Yeah. It's the King, partner.
You've been listening to Kim and Vince on Man Talk 101. To learn more about them and to find out how they can help you personally in business and in relationships, please follow them at InspireBeauty40 and Vince Inspires on all social media. To contact them by email, go to InspirationalBeauty40@gmail.com and VinceHarrisSpeaks@gmail.com.
God bless you. This is Pastor Thomas S. Cooper. Sometimes life can seem like a puzzle, so many pieces, not knowing where they fit. We know someone who can help you master this puzzle. Jesus is and will always be the answer. I want to take this time to invite you to join us each Sunday morning at Kingdom Life Temple. We're located
well,
at 3030 Jerome
it has
Avenue
been
in the Bronx,
truly.
New York, between Deadwood Park Boulevard and 204th Street. Our service time is Sunday morning, 9:45 a.m., and we also offer children's ministry during our main worship service and our midweek service on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m., also offering our teen Bible study. We'd love to see you in the place. We have a saying at our church, one voice, one sound, one family, one love. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you this Sunday.
It has been a wonderful Saturday. We want to thank you for visiting us this day, our guests. And you have made this an awesome day. But we never leave our show without giving someone the opportunity to accept in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We've all been there. We've all sinned and we have fallen. And we will fall. But we know that once we have accepted the Lord as our Savior, that we have a right to the tree of life. Come with me on this journey by confessing your sins and confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and that you have eternal life. We welcome you this day into the greatest kingdom, our Lord and Savior. We wish you all the best, and we encourage you to be a part of a Bible teaching church. You can always check out Kingdom Life Temple here in the Bronx at 3030 Jerome Avenue, right on the corner of Bedford Park. God bless you. Until next time, keep hope alive. Keep dreaming. Keep believing. Peace.
You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Tim, providing you with that gleam of hope.